Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, thank you very, very much. I'm grateful to be here and to be a part of this. I want to thank Lindy. We are in our 30th year of ministry this year, which seems crazy. She was very young when we started the journey. We are very, very grateful. This church inspires me, and if you're new here, and so many folks are, I'm continually meeting people that I hadn't seen before. And if you're new here, this is a 117-year-old church. And it has just went through, like all of us and all the other churches, a pandemic, and we were not one time shut down, not one time. There were times we weren't in the building, but we were never shut down. As a matter of fact, there is more opportunity and momentum now that, from a leadership perspective, than I think we had coming in. And so I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity as we launch a new series that has been months in coming. Part of my role as a leader is to help determine and facilitate not only what the mission and vision of the church is, but what's the mission of the moment? With so much going on, what should we be doing? And several months ago, I was sick and tired of being a spectator to the chaos that was going on around us. And for a while, I thought about participating in it, and that wasn't a good idea. And as I began to pray, and I asked God to give me a mission and vision from August 1st through December 31st. We're going to take 2021. Now, I'm just going to run through this really, really quickly, because when we talk about, I ask God to give me a vision, or we talk about hearing from God, it's not like there's a writing on the wall. I don't get an audible voice, but I recognize the need and responsibility as a pastor. And Galen and I both recognize that when we will give an account for the messages that we preach from this pulpit, that's a heavy weight and a demanding responsibility. And so one of the things that this is just my way of getting to the mission of the moment, I recognize the need and responsibility. It's real to me. And I resolve to inquire of God. And you can use some form of this template if you want to hear from God. This is not a bad template. There's other ways to do it, but I resolve to inquire. Lord, I'm going to get with you, and I need to hear from you. I need you to impress something on my spirit to help me to lead well. And then I commit myself to prayer, and I ask others to pray. Our church board has been praying, and our staff has been praying, and a few of you, saturating with prayer, and I'll set aside time for this. There may be two or three days, or it may actually go on for weeks, not all day, every day, but I'm just continually listening. Saturate with Scripture. It always begins with the Word of God. We consult with Scripture. We don't consult with, anything else until we have saturated ourselves with Scripture. I read, I study, I review, and I consider what's going on. This, what you're going to hear today, came out of about probably a month or more, and three specific days where it culminated when I was just asking God, and I was. You'll notice that if you're around me very much, anytime I'm in a service and I'm not preaching, I'm taking notes. Anytime someone is proclaiming or there's something going on, and then I save those and I go back into them and I say, God, what have you been telling me? I look at my journal and I'll say, what are the patterns over the last month that the Lord, was there a verse of scripture that came to me? Resolve to listen to God. And then when I feel like I have a direction, I begin to talk to trusted people who are around me. And that includes your church board and staff. And I'll say, hey, here's what I think God is saying. Does that affirm? It's not like I'm going to go a different direction necessarily, because they say, well, that we don't get it, but it matters. I want to hear, right? And so then you determine the mission of the moment and you nail it. Now listen, in 1958, NASA had 10 major goals they were pursuing. 10 major goals. It had to do with going to additional places and developing new equipment and transferring what they're learning from the science into medicine and all of those kinds of things. John F. Kennedy got elected in 1960. And in 1961, he stood up and said something that changed everything. He said, "The focus of NASA will be to safely deliver a man to the moon and return him back safely." And all of a sudden, 10 things that were all good, 10 things that were important, and 10 things that would still be considered, boom, this was it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm going to give you today. I'm going to give you something that I hope is part of every single ministry, every single thing that we do. In the process of asking God to speak as a leader, this passage of Scripture has been important to me. Habakkuk is calling upon the Lord. The people of Israel are stuck and there's things going on. And he says, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am going to give to this complaint." Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it." And that's what I'm giving you today. "For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." And in that process of considering the review that we went through with the church board, I learned some things. They were graceful, but they were clear, and I learned some things about me. In addition to that, every few years, I borrow from the business world the process of a 360 review. And I selected 22 people with who I work with closely, and they answered 20 questions about me anonymously. They rated me on 20 behaviors that were always, sometimes, or never. And the 20 behaviors were negative behaviors. And so if you do something like that, before you open it up, you take a minute, right? And then they answered three questions. Number one, what is Pastor Brian doing that you think is beneficial and he should keep doing? Number two, is Pastor Brian doing anything that you think is sabotaging his leadership and you'd like him to reconsider? And number three, is there anything else he needs to know? And all of that information was compiled, and there was a theme, and it was gracious and accurate and fair, but there was a theme that came out of that. And the theme was this phrase, concrete ground. And what I was hearing from those around me was, "Pastor, there's a lot of good stuff happening, and there's things happening in different places in the city because of our ministry, and we're partnering with other churches. But man, is there any way in all of this, we need to take some concrete ground in Lamont? We're not even sure what exactly that means, right? But to do something that is going to help us advance the kingdom, because there's so much noise in the air." And that resonated with me. And I thought, yeah, I'd like that. And I began to think about how we go from one place to another. And I began to do research on if we were going to set a goal. You know, if we're going to set a goal for the end of the year. And I've been in ministry long enough. We've had all kinds of goals and attendance goals and all of that kind of stuff. And that didn't feel right in this culture. But I ran across this phrase, a wildly important goal. And I said, "God, give me that. Something that, if attained, changes everything." Okay? If we make it, everything changes. And secondly, and if it doesn't, if we don't attain it, it's going to greatly impact the other things that we're trying to do. It becomes the fuel for everything. That came out of that. I said, what would that look like? And then the other thing that came out was, it's 2021. People just say, it's 2021, and we know it's chaotic, and we know all of that. And I was searching Scripture and just asking God to speak. And then I had an idea. This may not be what you do, and I've never done it before. But I said, "God, I'm looking, and I'm feeling like I'm not getting anything." And then that phrase, 2021, I said, okay. So I began to go through the Scripture and look at the 20th chapter and the 21st verse. Never done it before. Don't recommend guiding your life with that kind of a thing. But it's just what I felt led to do. I found some interesting scriptures. This one from 2 Samuel. The woman said to Joab, "His head will be thrown over to you from the wall." I don't think we should go with that one. And then I found this one from John chapter 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, we're not there in 2021, but there's that kind of chaos in the air. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed him his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And that got in me. It resonated with me. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then he said this. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, the sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Well, that's interesting. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And it caused me to begin to think about what it would mean if we woke up every day between now and the end of the year and said, "I am sent. Everybody that I see today, I'm sent to. Every situation that I encounter today, I'm sent to." So we don't get into a situation or a circumstance and go, "Well, I don't understand why this is happening," because God sent us to it. What would that look like? What would that mean to live as one who is sent, a messenger? You've seen these guys, or you've dodged these guys in the city. The messenger, right? The bike messenger. This guy's not going for a ride. He's not just going, "Oh, I'm going to go on bike therapy," or something like that. He's not stopping for an ice cream cone, right? He's not trying to figure out, you know, who should I go to? No, there's an appointment waiting for him. There's somebody waiting for him. He may have never met them before, but he has something to deliver. He's not going to stop to argue politics. He's not going to stop to talk about the sports team. He is determined to go. As the Father has sent me. What if we allowed God? What if we said, "Lord, whatever I face today, I'm banking on the fact that you've sent me there." Well, how did the Father send Jesus? "As the Father has sent me." Well, he was led by the Holy Spirit. Before he was born, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "You will be overcome with the Holy Spirit, and you will give birth." Throughout his life, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested. He got to a point, Jesus got to a point where he said, I'm not even speaking my own words. It is the Father speaking through me. That's how committed he was to do the Father's will, led by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember at the baptism when the dove descended upon him? If we're going to reach this incredible goal, if we're going to get there, we are only going to get there if we are led by the Holy Spirit. And here's why. Watch what he did. It's interesting because he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. See you later." No, wait. And he breathed. They received the Holy Spirit. Where are you at with that? We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't have enough wisdom to be able to help the folks that I love and care about. I've preached every sermon I got to them. I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. There are situations and circumstances that blindside us, and we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Bible says that if we ask him, God will fill us with his Holy Spirit. We can live in the fruit of the Spirit, and we must. Because if we don't, we'll quit the job. Because this issue of being a messenger, of being sent, is not easy. People don't go, "Oh, great, you're here." No. And sometimes even the people that you're sent to don't want to be sent to. And it's hard and it's difficult. And if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if we're not allowing him to move in us, we'll never follow through. Then let's talk about this last part here. Do we have the power to forgive sins? No. That's not what he's talking about. When you look at this scripture contextually, we don't have the power to forgive. As a matter of fact, we do the Holy Spirit a disservice when we affirm somebody's sin. We can't do that. Neither can we forgive them. But here is what we can do. And it fits in with what Jesus is talking about and the contextual understanding of what he's saying here. You know what we get to do? We don't create forgiveness or deny it. but we announce it according to God's word and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I was on the phone with somebody this last week who said, I just can't. I've asked God to forgive me and I just can't. And I said, on the basis of God's word, I need you to understand, this isn't my opinion. On the basis of God's word, you are forgiven. You are free. It is over. Do you know what an incredible message that is when you get to deliver it? Led by the Holy Spirit. This whole thing is not some kind of a fluff message that we're going to deliver. It's based upon God's word. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was carrying the towel and ultimately a cross. That's just the truth. And if we don't come as he came, and this is a wonderful summation of those two things. So there's a discussion about who's going to sit at his right, who's going to sit on his left, and the kingdom of the disciples are arguing with one another. And he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Talk is cheap. We've got to carry the towel. Where are you carrying the towel right now? Sometimes I've carried a towel, and then, you know, it was like when I was a kid, I got in a boxing match, and it was my buddy, and I think I've told this story before, but his dad had real boxing gloves, and we went down out in his garage, and we were going to go, okay, you know, we're going to box. And it's like, ding, ding, right? Okay, for those of you that saw Rocky. And it's just, and we're just moving, and I knew he knew more about boxing than me, but I thought I was probably a little more athletic, and so I just hit him right in the face. There was no style. There was just like, bam! And he stepped back, and he went, you hit me! And I'm like, well, yeah. And then he chased me around the yard it was great. Listen, that's what happens to us. If we're going to be messengers, we're going to make sacrifices. And we're going to have to intentionally serve. And I am so grateful for the body of Christ here. You guys serve in so many capacities. And sometimes you get hit. And sometimes it will hurt. But if we're going to go the way Jesus went, if we're going to be sent the way the Father sent him, we're going to have to do that. And then Jesus came with a message to deliver. What message can we deliver? This Luke chapter 4 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. Jesus goes into the synagogue on the Lord's day, and every pastor loves this phrase, as was his custom, right? He was there, and the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I thought about that, and I thought, okay, but how do we deliver that kind of a message? And then Mark 1, 14, 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Well, that's not going to be popular. And believe the good news. And I struggled with, okay, how can we take that? Because this is literal for me. I believe God, what I'm going to give you is what I really believe God has given, and I'm going to communicate it to as many people as I can in the next few months, and I'm going to challenge you to do it. But how do we do that when we're in such a crazy time, a time when there's cancel culture, right? And I'm not even talking about the media and all that. I'm just talking about there's times when somebody will be talking and if they represent, and you're just shut down. You don't get a chance to even finish your sentence. I mean, I've been guilty of that. I hear somebody, a word, and somebody, they're talking about, Trump or Biden or whatever, and boom, right? And the Christian perspective is canceled personally. And I'm not talking about the media and the government. I'm talking about that when you're trying to talk to somebody about Jesus. They shut down. And it has to do, I think, with a lot of things. It has to do with mostly with the relationship that we have with them. But how can we communicate those truths? I want to give you four statements that are gospel true and door opening. This isn't the whole gospel, but these are four statements that the Lord gave me. And he said, Brian, for the rest of the year, I just want you to say, I want you to look into people's eyes, and as often as you can, I want you to say one or more of these four things. Because they're gospel true and door open. A lot will come after that. The first one is this. You're valuable. It's a message I want to deliver. You matter. You matter. You're important. Whoever you are, whatever situation or circumstance you're in, listen to me. You're an on-purpose creation of God. There's a plan for your life. God's love for you is unconditional. His mercies are new to you every morning. Your words matter. Your touch matters. Your dreams matter. Ecclesiastes 3 says that he has made everything beautiful in his time, and he has also set eternity in the human heart. And theologians debate about exactly what that means, but it means that there's something in you that's so big and so grand. You're valuable. You are not a throwaway. No, you may have been discarded by somebody, but you are valuable. Everything in your life matters. Jesus, that was a message Jesus delivered so many times to people who were in a tough spot, to the woman caught in the act of adultery, to Zacchaeus, to the lepers. He was continually communicating that you have value. Now listen, this is not some fluff sermon on, oh, you're wonderful. No. Valuable and matter is different. There's another side to this coin. You're valuable. What right do you have to quit? You're valuable. There are people who are waiting and listening. You know, listen, this isn't a self-esteem thing. I heard a comedian the other day say that the United States is 35th in math, 11th in science, but first in self-esteem, right? No, because you're valuable. There's a call. There are things that you can do. And if you don't do them, no one else is going to do them. You're valuable. You're important. The second phrase follows the first. And here's where you begin to get the towel out. You're valuable to me. You're valuable to me. It's one thing to tell somebody they're valuable. It's another thing to say, you matter to me. I care about you. A couple of passages of scripture, because this is a big one. Don't say this unless you mean it. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I will sacrifice for you. And then James reminds us of this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical need. Now you're valuable to me. And that will stop the cancel culture, because people aren't hearing that. That phrase is even being abused, and people have misconceptions of what it means to be a Christian. A few years ago, I did a wedding, and there was another pastor that was officiating along with me from a different movement, and we were at the rehearsal dinner. He was a great guy. We had a great conversation. He said, I want to ask you something. He said, I know about the Church of Nazarene. I know about, all the work you guys do in missions, and I know all that. What I hadn't realized was that you guys believe that only Nazarenes are going to heaven. Now, there's a joke there, which is, no, we're more conservative than that. We don't believe most Nazarenes are going to heaven, but that's a joke. No. I said, what? He goes, yeah. He said, I graduated from Moody, and I interviewed a Nazarene church, and when I went before the pastor and board, that's what they said. And they told me I even had to be rebaptized again. And I'm going, nothing is further from the truth. That's not true. For I don't know how many years, he had never even taken a second look at our movement because of something somebody said. Now listen, when you begin to deliver the message, you're going to face that kind of stuff. When you identify as a Christian, you're going to face that kind of stuff. Don't be surprised. Don't judge somebody because they have a wrong opinion. But when you say you matter to me, now you move into a position where you can have a conversation. Dr. McCain, yesterday during his report at our assembly for the district, said, love is not something we think. Love is not something we feel. Love is something we do. You matter to me. And then, the third is what we oftentimes think we should lead with. And I mean, sometimes we should. But do you remember me talking about cancel, how people aren't listening? If we do the first two, here's what you're going to hear. If you live the way like Jesus did, if you carry the towel, someone's going to say, why are you doing this for me? And that's where 1 Peter 3 comes in. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you the question for the hope that you have. Well, you could also say for the love that you have. You say, I'm doing it for you because God's done it for me. And you are valuable to God. You matter. Jesus told the story of the shepherd has 100 sheep and one strays away and he leaves the 99. Just leaves them because he's got to go get the one. You're valuable to God. He so loved you that he gave his only son. You matter to him. He has a plan for you. There is a purpose for you. So, you're valuable. And it might be in the midst of conflict. It might be in an argument where somebody, you just aren't going to say, look, I'm having trouble working this out right now, but I want you to know you're valuable. Your opinion matters. You matter. You matter to me. You matter to God. Consequently, the fourth statement is this. There's a way. Regardless of what the situation is, regardless of how big the mess is, you may be at work and there may be a situation and there other people may be around going, well, we're just done. I want the Holy Spirit to cause you to say, almost without even thinking, now there's a way. Now we know there's 100 messages behind that, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, all of that. But we begin with telling people, listen, I know you're hurt. I know you're struggling. I know this is tough. I know we're having issues right now. But wife, husband, son, daughter, neighbor, friend, coworker, you're going to get through this. There is a way. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. He who drew out the chariots and the horses. Read your Bible. How many times in virtually every story in the Bible is there somebody who said, there's no way. He drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like the wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. There is a way for us to get through. We never give up. We must be the most positive people on earth. This picture was titled The Luckiest Frog on the Planet. I hope you can see it. You see the little guy in there? This guy was fishing in the river, caught a largemouth bass, went to take the hook out, and hello. That's how people feel. They may hide it. That's why people give up. That's why people do really what we see somebody do something that ruins their marriage or ruins their life, and we think, man, what in the world happened? They felt like this at some point, and they said, I'm done. And they quit, and they gave up. By the way, the photographer said, this lasted just long enough for me to get the picture, and that frog jumped right off of my shoulder onto the tree and was free. I got to tell you, that's what Jesus did for me. I didn't fight my way out of sin. I didn't deceive the bass, right? Jesus just picked him up and opened it up, and I went out. There is a way. Do not give up on your children and grandchildren and husbands and wives and moms and dads that you're praying for. Do not do that. We are people of the way. And so, concrete ground, I have numerical goals for us that I'm not even going to tell you about till it's over. That we're measuring a whole bunch of stuff. There's metrics. This isn't just this. But in goal setting, there are lead measures and lag measures. And lag measures are the results. The lag measure is I want to lose weight, and I do. That's a lag measure. The lead measure is, what am I going to do today to do something about that? The lag measures will take care of themselves, and we're watching. It's the lead measure I want you to focus on for the wildly important goal. The statements, and here it is. I'm praying that you will, first of all, receive these statements today about you, because you can't deliver what you don't know to be true. You are valuable. You're more important than you know. Your family may not be saying it, your friends may not be saying it, but listen, you make a bigger difference than you understand. Receive that. You're important to me and this pastoral staff. Gayla and I pray, and we understand the weight of the responsibility when we get up to preach, and we think and we talk, and Pastor Phil, just an incredible leader, you matter to him. That's why he puts in the number of hours and does so many things. Our pastoral staff, you matter to us. You matter to God, which is why we're here. And whatever you're dealing with, if you're feeling stuck, hear me, there's a way. If you receive them, then I want you to, I'm asking you to commit every day to live as one sent. Pick up your towel, expect to serve somebody. Deliver the message faithfully when you have the opportunity as it opens up. Lord, I'm gonna go just wherever I get an opportunity. You're gonna be amazed at the number of moments that it's gonna be bing, when you're gonna think, I can say it. Hey, I know you're struggling now, but I believe in you and there's a way. And maybe that will open up another whole conversation. Hey, you matter to me and you matter to God, right? You gotta allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. You know, you don't put it on a billboard and just, that's not what I'm talking about. You can do that if you want to, I guess, but that's not the kind of communication that we need right now. Now, Pastor, that's not a good goal. That's not how you're going to, it is actually. From the business world, I again borrow the idea of a SMART goal. It's specific. 4 statements. Live sent. It's measurable. You're going to know how the number of times. What might you ask God to do? Maybe give you one person a day. It's attainable. It's relevant, oh yeah, and it's time bound. In August of 2009, a group of scientists in Australia gave people a chance to send a text in hopes of reaching an alien being. Now, you didn't see that coming, did you? All right, here's what they did. They set things up for a text to be transmitted to Gliese 581. It's a planet that they discovered in 2007. Now, nobody's seen it. They haven't taken pictures of it. It's just all the magnetic forces and all that. But they speculated that this planet had the ability to host life. Who knows? And if you wanted to, they had this thing set up where you could send a text. Here's the issue. It won't get there until 2029. Folks, we don't have that kind of time. We need to get on it and allow God to send us. I'm going to close with this. First of all, have you heard, did you know that you're valuable, that you matter to others and us, and you matter to God, and that there's a way? There's a way. Who is first on your list? Who do you know right now that needs to hear this? Very likely there's somebody who you've thought, man, I wish I could find a way to communicate this to so-and-so. You're sent. I mean, we either are or aren't followers of Jesus, and if we are, we follow, right? Who's first on your list? Just try it. And then what I'd like you to do, because we're not gonna, when I was trying to figure out how to do this and have a wildly important goal, there was one scheme that I put together. Scheme's not a good word. One pathway where I was going to have you turn in numbers and all that stuff. And everybody looked at me and went, would you do that? And I'm like, nah, I probably wouldn't. But I would like you to take time to share steps and stories with a staff member. Send us an email, pull us aside, and tell us what happened. When you told somebody you're valuable, and you're not bragging on yourself. We just kind of need to know. If you take a step, a spiritual step, or you have a friend that says, you know what, Pastor, they asked me to pray, or I was able to pray with them for the first time. We need to hear that. And we're not going to share it. We won't share anybody's name or anything without your approval. So don't be afraid of that. And here's what I get every once in a while. Every once in a while, someone will come up and say, you know, Pastor, I meant to share with you, but like 6 months ago, you preached a message on such and such, and I went and talked to so-and-so, and then this thing happened. And I am so grateful to hear that. I would really like to have heard it 6 months ago. So I'm challenging you to staff, to board members. Hey, I tried this and this happened, because we need to give God glory for it. And I'm convinced that when we follow these lead measures, Chicago First is going to take some ground. Our families are going to take some ground as we live sent. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm thinking of that person today who could communicate those four truths to everybody else, but they don't believe them about themselves. In the chaos of everything that's going on, in the busyness, they were looked over, or nobody noticed, or they blew it, and they crashed, or a thousand other things, and they feel like they've been discarded, or they feel like there's nothing they can do. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would communicate in such a manner that goes beyond even the words I'm speaking, that your Holy Spirit would well up in them, and your Spirit would testify with their spirit that they belong to you. And where there is sin, that it be confessed. Where there is pain, that they would receive comfort. Where there's confusion, that they would receive direction. But more than anything else, may they rest in the knowledge that they're yours. And having bathed themselves in that love and hope, that you would send us into the world as your messengers with our towel, our cross, and the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word First NAS to 474747. That's all one word, First NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. We'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast, so make sure you always have the latest content. And always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.